allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Move to approve the minutes.
Second.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes. Going to go a little out of order this morning. The county was saddened last week by the sudden death of Judge David Niehaus. And today, I'd like to propose to name the Juvenile Justice Center after the Honorable Judge Niehaus. Judge Niehaus served, I believe it was 27 years as judge, 21 as juvenile court judge, and will be remembered as a judge who was both tough and fair. One young attorney that I know that practiced, was a prosecutor, practiced under Judge Niehaus, stated that he was quite a mentor for her. He was quiet, easy, and gentle, but he gave her good suggestions, and it's helped her a lot in her career as a prosecutor. Today, we're glad to see Eric Niehaus, judge's son, here today, and Rob from the center. Rob worked with him for, I guess, how many years, Rob? It's been a long time.
26 years.
It's quite a loss, and we're sorry for your loss for both of you. So, but I'd like to make that proposal this morning. If you guys have any comments, any thoughts on the matter?
Oh, I concur. I think it's quite fitting. So I support that 100%.
Yep, I do too. And Dave was a good friend of mine and the family, and I grew up with his brother Joe, went to school with Joe, and Dave, when I was in high school, we had a basketball team, a church team as a COAO, and Dave was 8 years older than I am, and he was just out of law school, and he became our COAO coach, and boy, did we have fun that year. He took it as seriously as he took being on the bench, and we won the state high school COAO championship that year. And Dave was I don't think he was more proud than of passing the bar than having us win the championship, because as you talk to Dave, and we used to talk about that all the time down to Y, you know, reminisce, and he said, yeah, it was my coaching ability that got us through that. You know, I agreed, you know. So, but that was some fond memories of Dave. And but seriously, on Chuck's proposal, I think it's very fitting also. And he has certainly given a lot to this, to our community, and to trying to set straight our young people, to put them back on the right path, and with either tough love and tough sentencing, or a word of encouragement, or a warning, and also to the parents of our children who have to go before them, that, you know, it was a lesson for them also to you know, watch their children. So he is certainly owed a debt of gratitude from our community, and I think this is very fitting that the people that go through the court in the years to come, judges and lawyers and citizens, that they always see the name Dave Niehaus, and it will signify that, you know, there's a man that set the tone and set the model for administering justice and compassion for our young people in the county.
Just to tag on that a little bit, Greg, I don't think that we will ever really know or be able to quantify the positive outcomes of so many cases that he was involved in. He's touched so many lives. I think we have an awful lot of positive, hardworking citizens today because of Judge Niehaus that would have possibly taken the wrong turn had they not encountered the judge and his compassion. So it's definitely a positive story for Butler County. It's a true loss for Butler County, and we are definitely saddened by that. But I think he's very deserving, and we would like to name the Juvenile Justice Center after Judge Niehaus. Would either of you like to say anything at this time? Yeah. Please, if you will.
Good morning. Obviously, Eric Niehaus, thanks for being here. First, I want to say I really appreciate the sentiment of the board today. I apologize if I cry right now, so it's been kind of hard every time I talk about it. I really appreciate the action that the board's willing to take this morning. First of all, last Thursday, my family lost a wonderful man, and after reading countless condolences and newspaper articles, I think it's pretty obvious that the citizens of Butler County lost a wonderful man as well. I do think it's truly fitting to dedicate a building in his name, that he dedicated his life, where he dedicated his life's work, to the children and the families of this county for 27 years as a judge. And that's not just all the time that he's been in the courtroom. That's 64 years as a person that he dedicated his life to the same thing. You saw what you got what you saw. I mean, he was the same inside the court as he was outside. He was got to be one of the most perfect people I've ever met in my entire life. And I think that I'm truly lucky to call him a dad, and I know the people in this room are truly lucky to call him a friend. So, again, I appreciate the sentiment, and I thank the board.
Thank you, Eric. I know that's got to be extremely difficult for you, and we really appreciate and respect you for doing this this morning. Eric is a lieutenant with the Westchester Police Department, and his colleagues had such a strong showing for the service, and the honor guard was Westchester, and it was just so impressive when all those officers there in uniform and the honor guard did such an outstanding job. It was just a beautiful service. There's no question about it. It was heart-wrenching, but it was a beautiful service. And with that, I'd like to make the motion at this time to place the name on the Juvenile Justice Center.
Second. Both of us second.
Yes. Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes. Thank you. We appreciate it.
It's our pleasure.
It's after 9:30, time for public hearing for a 2007 CAPER, CAPER.
Morning, Donna.
Good.
Thanks, Donna.
Every year around this time, actually by August 1st, we have to submit what is called our annual CAPER to the Department of Housing and Urban Development. The CAPER stands for the Consolidated Annual Performance and Evaluation Report, and basically what that states is it shows what money we have spent, and we have to explain what we've done with that money. So what I have here is your copy of the CAPER, but what I provided for you is the executive summary, so you don't have to go through this 2-inch binder here. And I will make this as short as possible. Our program year for 2007 was from May 1st, 2007 to April 30th, 2008. Within that time frame, we spent a little over $2.3 million. That money went towards a variety of different programs and activities that we have. The first set of numbers I have for you is the program accomplishments. For our emergency utility program, we assisted 49 individuals or families. We did 42 emergency home repairs. 28 families were assisted with down payment assistance, so those were first-time home buyers that were put into a new home. We provided 13 single-family rehabs. There were two homes constructed and sold within that time frame, and then two more were under construction. And just since I completed this report, we've sold that third home. So altogether, we have sold five homes in New Miami within like 3 years. We assisted one business with the downtown revitalization program, and we do have a fair housing contract, which is a requirement for HUD, in which 73 clients were assisted with that. As far as community improvements, we've done a variety of park improvements over the last year. In the Village of New Miami, we provided some park equipment and a variety of different improvements for Fox Park. We worked on the park entrance for Madison Township. We provided playground equipment for Milford Township. The City of Trenton had some Founders Day park improvements, which was landscaping and such. We worked on some community centers in Collinsville and Milford Township. We provided an elevator and some ADA compliant parking. In St. Clair Township, they have a community center there that we've worked on in conjunction with the trustees, and they needed some roof repairs. The City of Oxford and the City of Fairfield are both subrecipients to us, so they administer their own program, but we kind of oversee it. We have to make sure everything is eligible and meets the requirements. They did some municipal pool refinish and some weather warning sirens in Oxford, and Fairfield completed a Forest Lake Lane pedestrian path. Infrastructure improvements consisted of sidewalk improvements in Trenton, Lemon Township, and Oxford. In Fairfield Township, there were some stormwater improvements off of Lenox Avenue, and the City of Fairfield completed a roadway improvement for Grove Lane. Miscellaneous is what I'm calling that because it doesn't really fit in either one of these categories. Holding Hands, which is a nonprofit right outside of the Village of New Miami, we are providing them some food. They have a lot of different programs that they serve the community there in New Miami and beyond that. Senior Citizens Incorporated, we provided some outdoor activity acquisition consisting of chairs, tables, planners, benches. Senior Independence, we did some acquisition there consisting of some equipment and just some furniture like chairs and couches and things like that. And then the following pages, all that does is just gives you a little bit more detail, like the linear feet and more like detail of what I just went over with you. With that in mind, we actually received a HUD award last week for our timeliness. And this is here, I'll present that to you all. Over the last, what they did was HUD over the last 5 years, they went through and they looked at all the grantees in the state that spent their money in a timely manner and was able to, you know, uphold all the regulations and things. And there were three awards, and that was divided based on the amount of money that the county or city receives. And we won the award for the counties and cities, which received between $1 and $5 million, which consisted of 44% of all their grantees. So we won that award, which was kind of nice. And then separate from the CAPER, just to give you an update, since I don't really get to have this forum that often, our Shelter Plus Care grant is moving forward. We got the grant agreement and all of that. That's that one, about $1.2 million for basically services to help with the homeless. Let's see, our Dollar Home program, working with Gary Sheets, the one in Raleigh Township that we purchased back in March, and then it was put on hold for a while through HUD. It's finally been released. We'll be closing on that August 26th and deeding that over to Raleigh Township to use as a museum. And then also last week, President Bush signed into effect the Housing and Economic Recovery Act of 2008, which we should be seeing some money from that as well. And that's about it.
Congratulations on the awards. They're well deserved, and constantly receiving accolades on the job you do, obviously, from many of the recipients that do appreciate all the help and the many forms. Okay. You guys have anything?
No. Thank you.
Thanks.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Motion to close and accept the Consolidated Annual Performance and Evaluation Report, the CAPER.
So move.
Second.
Commissioner Dalabette?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes. Okay. Eric Anderson, Rockies Express Pipeline.
Good morning again, gentlemen.
Good morning.
You have all seen our easement that we are proposing across your Woodsdale property. We have dropped the easement that we were going to use in Monroe. We're not going to need that after all. It is now offline. But we have basically covered just about everything that the county has asked for. As far as the Department of Environmental Services, we have made adjustments to our line in that area, in the Monroe area, to accommodate their force main there. We have also worked out the subordination agreement with the engineer's office. That was approved by you gentlemen at the fairgrounds, I believe, a couple weeks ago. And then the appraisers at the auditors and the engineers believe that the $12,000 that we are offering is pretty good amount for this particular property, and Gary has approved the legal up to this point. Basically it all comes down to money, and we have upped the ante on that also. It is now at $103,500 that we're offering for the Woodsdale property, both tracks. We've also have the tenant ready to go as far as Metro Parks of Butler County. John Granville has already said he will sign off on it. So it's basically up to you.
Okay. Do you have any questions?
No, I just want to make certain that we have on that Woodsdale easement that we have the right to cross that to get to the water.
No problem.
Okay, and that if it has to be someday that may be envisioned as a water feature for the park.
Okay.
So we'll probably have some boat ramps and things like that.
So it shouldn't be a problem.
Will you be deep enough we can get over top of it?
I believe so. We're looking to be, 5 feet?
Okay.
We will be at 5 feet deep.
But in our agreement, we got an agreement that if we need to get through there, we can get through there.
And yeah.
Relocation,
in the agreement.
Something's got to be done to it.
Okay. Right. Yes.
Well, just because, you know, we will be maybe one day have boat ramps and stuff back in there for that park. And so if that would have to be lowered, is that in there at your expense? You'll make
yes.
it so we can get across it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'm fine.
Good. All right. Thank you.
We appreciate your help.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Gary.
Do we need a motion on any of that stuff?
Do we need a motion today? Is it all?
Do we need a motion to?
If you're satisfied with $103,000, $103,500.
I think that's fair.
Okay.
I make a motion. We approve the agreement with the Rockies Pipeline Express and accept the amount of money that's been proposed and negotiated to $103,500.
Second.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Gary, good job on this.
Thank you.
Thank you. This time we'll go into.
Now you can go get the hard ones.
Go into communications.
First, we have a resolution to consider separate. We're pulling it from the communications. It's an environmental services resolution to approve a change order number 3 to Kyle Station Road water main replacement material only to add 45 feet of 12-inch pipe. The amount of the change order is $1,331.
You want to do that separately?
Yes, sir.
Move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon abstain. Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Okay, now as we go into communications, First, we have travel and training. We have eight requests today. First, from Veteran Services for McPherson Stamper to attend American Legion presentation to Congress, Washington, D.C., $1,228. Next, from Veteran Services for Smith Blondo Stewart to attend the Fall Training Conference, Columbus, Ohio, $1,412. Again, from Veteran Services for Stamper Perry McPherson to attend the Fall Training Conference as well for $1,412. Next, from the Board of Elections, Jason Bunch to attend the Secretary of State Elections Simulation for $400. Next, from Emergency Management, Tanya Dutz to attend the Dialogic Communications Corporation User Conference for $1,012 even. Next, from Job and Family Services for Oaks, Spradling, Johnson, Couch, Ospic, and Chestnut to attend the Job and Family Services Symposium, Columbus, Ohio, $1,856. Again, from Veteran Services, McPherson, Infield, and Johnson to attend the 2008 OSA CVSO Fall School for $2,153. Finally, there's a request again from Veteran Services for the same school for Blevins and Skipworth for $1,435. Next, we have on the agenda budget transfers and appropriations. Requesting to transfer $3,186 in the Records Center between accounts in order to purchase two computers. The general fund requesting to transfer between two accounts in the Sheriff's Academy account in the general fund, $495 and $2,000 due to the increased cost of uniforms for the labor contract. Next, general fund veteran services, a request to increase the general fund budget by $65,000 to the increased demand for transportation. Next, we have a transfer in advance to the fuel depot of $100,000. We'll get those billings caught up and get those billed out by tomorrow. Next, in the general fund, the prosecutor's VOCA department, it's an increase in budget of $700 for additional health insurance coverage. Then in the capital improvement fund, we're requesting a transfer of $31.72 between accounts. As we move to the sewer fund, there's a total of a $19,000 increase in budget to two different accounts. One is for an equipment failure. The other is for the repair to the vacuum truck. And finally, lining equipment for sewer mains. Next, the sewer department 3510 is requesting an increase of budget of $10,000 due to a customer reimbursement of a stormwater elimination program. Next, in the sewer sewer replacement and improvement fund, it's a decrease of budget for $350,000 so it can be reallocated to the Sharon Creek Force Main project and a new project for the Pisgah elimination. Next, in the water fund 4100, there's a increase of budget of $30,000 resulting from repairs to hydrants, resulting from hydrant testing and flushing. Next, in the water to capacity fund 4110, there's a $10,000 reduction in budget that's reallocated to an account 3320736 for change orders and capitalization of labor. And also, there's an increase of budget of $53,000 for a new project for the Regard water main replacement. In the water replacement and improvement fund, there's a decrease in budget of $79,500 for the Castle Hill project that is being reallocated, and an increase in budget of $104,000 for a new project at the Princeton Road wastewater relocation. In a water replacement and improvement fund, there's an increase of budget of $70,500 for the Castle Hill project. Continuing in the Water Replacement Improvement Fund, there's an increase in budget of $9,000 and $90,000 for additional funds for design of the Rockdale project and additional funds relating to the Greater Cincinnati Water Main relocation. Finally, there's a decrease in budget of $157,000 to reallocate funds or and to this reallocate at least $14,000 of that amount to the SCADA project for conversion of two more water tanks. As we move on to the next resolution is to accept and place on file the County Care Facility list of employee actions. These actions include the new hire of a Clara Story as an RN and a Stephanie Hamblin as a housekeeper. Next is a Angela Million is a resignation effective 7/8. Housekeeper change in status, housekeeper Donna Kunka with a medical leave of absence, and a John or Joan Wilburn, a licensed practical nurse that goes on full-time with benefits, and a Jennifer Matizak, which goes from full-time to part-time. Finally, a step increase. This is a 10-year step increase for Angela Nesbitt from $11.87 to $12.17. Is a nurse's
you, you meant 10 hours, didn't you? Instead of 10 years?
10-year step increase.
A 10-year? What's that mean?
They have step increases at the care facility occur at 5 years,
10 years. Oh, 10 years of service. Years.
That's correct.
Oh, okay. Right.
Continuing with personnel actions, we have 14 other personnel actions, 4 step increases, and 9 other personnel actions. First is accept the resignation of Tom Couch in maintenance effective July 31. Next is to accept approve a payout of comp time in children's services to John Creedon in the amount of $190.10. Again, in children's services, a payout of comp time to Serena Knight in the amount of $278.70. We have a children's services collective bargaining unit step increase for Tiffany Tuttle to $14.33 an hour, a 3.3% increase. Next, a step increase, Children's Services Collective Bargaining for Scott Cole, to $17.47, a 3.3% increase. Next is a step increase, Children's Services Collective Bargaining Unit for Amanda Hinkle to $22.03, a 3.3% increase. Next, a step increase for Stacy Haiti in Children's Services Collective Bargaining to $19.83, a 3.3% increase. Next is accept the resignation of Donald Fugit in the Dog and Kennel Fund effective August 1st. Next is to accept the resignation of Jeff McCrack in the Maintenance Department effective August 8th. Next is to grant a longevity increase in Job and Family Services Collective Bargaining Unit to Alice Jeffers in amount of $19.58, a 0.3% increase. Next is Job and Family Services Collective Bargaining Unit accept the resignation of Hope Harsp effective July 31st. Job and Family Services Collective Bargaining Unit to accept the payroll from that department for July 19th to August 1st in accordance with previously authorized resolutions. In building and zoning, you requested to rescind a temporary reassignment to chief inspector and return the person to its normal pay effective August 4th. Finally, in environmental services, you're asked to approve a reallocation of management salaries between the Water and Sewer Fund and the Solid Waste District. As we move on to community development, you're asked to authorize Tim Williams to execute documents implementing the dollar home sales to local governments. This is what Donna just spoke about. We have a HUD home to be granted to us for a dollar in which we would grant to Riley Township to be used as a museum. under Job and Family Services and Children's Services. You're first asked to approve a contract with Stephen Sims for diagnostic services for chemical dependencies, developmental interventions, court hearings, HIPAA compliance, in the amount of $55,000, effective June 14th, 08 to June 30, 09. This is involved with the CanSafe program. You're next to requested to approve and execute a contract with Deborah Joy, who's a licensed clinical counselor who performs adoption assessment, evaluations, recommendations, and counseling for Job and Family Services. Next contract, you're requested to approve the execution of a contract with Children's Diagnostic Center for Mental Health Services for the period February 1 to December 31, in the amount not to exceed $165,000 for chemical or pharmacological assessment and management, behavior health counseling, victim interview and intervention, sexual predator assessment, court appearances, administrative services. Next, you're requested to approve and execute agreement with Baby Doll Treasures Learning Center. This is no amount is involved with this. This is merely a contract required by the Early Learning Initiative for HIPAA reasons. So we continue on with Job and Family Services. There are 12 daycare contracts. These are primarily latchkey type after school programs. It's located either at various elementary schools or YMCAs. They're all for the period of September 1 through 08 through August 31, 09. And they involve primarily the Fenton Family YMCA. We're contracting with that YMCA or the Fairfield YMCA. There's one with Fairfield YMCA. The remainder is with the Fenton Family YMCA. And these include daycare programs at Cleveland Elementary, $5,900. Bogan Elementary, $5,000. Adams Elementary, $17,100. The YMCA preschool at $33,200. Fairfield YMCA, $9,700. St. Peter and Chain School, $1,500. Pierce Elementary, $2,800. Monroe Elementary, $2,600. Lincoln Elementary, $6,300. Kramer Elementary, $2,600. Hayes Elementary, $4,300. And Fillmore Elementary, which is $2,500. So we move on to environmental services. You're first requested to approve a $15,000 participation in a sewer fund or sewer system improvement in the city of Monroe. This is an extension of Salzman Road to Yankee Road, right off State Route 63. The total project is $250,000. You're next requested to approve and execute an encroachment agreement with Duke Energy. This involves a land area that is off of Port Union Road, Tradeport Drive to be exact. It's some land that goes from Tradeport Drive back to the railroad. Environmental Services also requests you to approve a resolution to apply for a water grant program. And to authorize Bob Leventry to sign all necessary documentation relating to the loan application. This particular loan is targeted to fund three types of projects. Number one is the Shaker Creek project, which is in Warren County, which is a wastewater project. Next is the Big Monroe Force Main project, a wastewater project. And finally, to fund Blue Max improvements. The amounts, Shaker Run, $1,007,000, Big Monroe, $1,470,000, Blue Max, $3,000,000. This loan is available at rates less than conventional borrowing. These projects would have been targeted for conventional borrowing at a future date. This accelerates the borrowing for about 1 year. The rate is about 3.4%, you know, which is about a point and a half lower than the average long-term rate that exists today. You're next asked to release a one-year maintenance bond for water and sewer line extension to Kyle Station Meadows 8A. You're next, this relates to the resolution that we just discussed on the loan application. You're authorizing Bob Leventry to sign the specific application supporting the $3 million for the project for the Blue Max replacement area. Next, Environmental Services is asking you to approve and execute an encroachment agreement with Mark Bradley Holmes. This is a driveway that exists over a sewer easement. Bradley Holmes agrees to indemnify the county and move anything at their expense if it's so needed in the future, and allow us to allow the movement over top of the water easement. Next, the Environmental Services is asking to approve and execute an assignment agreement between Innovative Fiber Optic and Environmental Services. These particular fibers are owned by the county. They're on Duke's power poles. The original installation agreement called for iFiber to pay the original cost for a year of the pole rentals. Thereafter would be the county's obligation. This assignment transfers the obligation of paying the pole rental fees to Butler County in accordance with the original contract. Next, Environmental Services requests you to grant extension of public sanitary service to Cincinnati Premium Outlets. That's located in Monroe. Environmental Services requesting you to approve a temporary relief of manhole installation requirements for a property located at 6670 Station Road. This is property that is owned by Westchester Township. To move on to the engineer requests the permission to advertise for bids for contract 2008-7 for the widening of Tylersville Road. The engineer also is providing a list of equipment that they wish to auction on govdeals.com, is requesting permission to do so. The engineer also requests you to authorize Greg Wilkins to enter into a contract with the Ohio Public Works Commission to apply for funds for the contracts for the Bicenter Road Project, the Titusville Road Improvement Project, and Riley Millville Road Slip Project. The engineer also requests you to approve and execute a contract with John R. Jerkinson for paving of various county roads in Madison Township, contract number 2008-11. The engineer requests you to approve an agreement for inspection services for the roundabout and bike path improvements at Lakota Drive for quality control inspection. Under miscellaneous, you requested to approve outside legal counsel from Frost Brown Todd for the Industrial Commission in regards to the Jerry Hooker versus the William E. Mabe case. You're also requested to approve a contract for LexisNexis online services at a rate of $770 per month. You're also requested to approve the or correct a previous resolution where we inadvertently awarded equipment for the PSAP connectivity, the equipment for the PSAP connectivity to Cincinnati Bell, where in fact Graybar was the lower bid, and so this rescinds the previous resolution and awards the contract to Graybar. You're asked by the sheriff to approve and sign a contract for the inmate phone system with Combined Public Communications. And finally, you're asked to award construction contracts for the new animal shelter to CRNR, the total amount of $1,885,900, Gaines Mechanical, in the amount of $425,159, Queen City Mechanical for $307,800, Butler County Electric for $281,500.
Move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Jolivet.
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon.
Yes.
Commissioner Furman.
Yes.
Mr. President, I do. As I sent you, both of you, a memo asking you about to support a study. I'd like to formalize that with regards to the senior citizens' reported surplus, projected surplus of $20 million by the year 2010. I'd like to authorize Tim to study this with a goal of if there is this surplus that's been reported, that we roll back the taxes on this levy to our taxpayers, but with the following provisos: that, you know, number one, that we don't jeopardize any of the present services that are being offered, and number two, that we make sure that the services, the senior services, are marketed to seniors who do not receive those services now. There may be a number of seniors in the county that do not know that the services are available. And we need to make sure that we have an aggressive marketing approach to make sure that they're aware of these services before we roll back the money. And number two, explore the idea that when we were asked to put the levy, or after that or before that, I'm not quite sure, but we've been asked by senior citizen centers, both in Middletown and Hamilton, to help them out with different capital needs. I remember the Middletown asked for money for their new senior citizen center. Hamilton's asked for money to help with purchasing of vans or transportation, that we explore a one-time capital grant with any senior citizen center in the county that could utilize this money before we roll it back. So we do maximize this money to help seniors, but I would not be in favor of authorizing any additional programs that just in order to spend the money. I don't think that's prudent. If there's a program that the Council on Aging has been touting for a number of years, then that's different. But just to say, hey, you've got $20 million surplus, go spend the money, doesn't make sense to me. What does make sense to me is that we admit the fact that there is a surplus. We answer why there was, because we asked the voters to support the senior citizens levy. And I think one of the main reasons is that the levy was at its level was because we were told that there was 900 people on the seniors waiting on the waiting list, and in reality it was a much lower number, so that money was not needed for those services, which is in part of the reason why there is a surplus. But I think that we need to roll back the surplus, and the figure that I just drew out of the air, $14 million, is not something that's in stone. It's not in my mind. It's, you know, whatever we think is prudent in order to, again, not jeopardize the programs and to maybe offer a marketing approach or capital grants. So I'm not stuck on a $14 million number. It could be more if we do have this projected $20 million surplus. But I think it's very important that we tell the citizens that, you know, we're obligated to be good stewards of their money. We've made that pledge to them. And we have to admit that if there is a surplus, we want to give it back to them, because our credibility is at stake for not only this levy, but also future levies, no matter whether it's the senior citizens levy or the mental health levy that comes before us for our decision to whether we place it on the ballot and whether we endorse it. So with that, I'd like to make that motion that we instruct Tim to study this and to get back to us as soon as possible with a plan as to how we can deal with this projected surplus.
Well, I concur with pretty much all that Commissioner Jolovitz said, except I'm for returning it. I think if we put it out there and ask if it can be spent, they'll find ways to spend it. I think it's been proven that people can manage their own dollars better than we can manage them, and I think it's even more beneficial to return the money back to the seniors at this time. And I agree we shouldn't jeopardize any of our current funding projects, but not interested in looking for any new ones. I think we should return that money immediately. We're always quick to bill it and get it in. I think we ought to be just as quick to get it back in their hands. And I think especially the way the economy is and all the issues facing the our seniors at this time, it would be better placed back in their hands. And I think it is exactly what you said, Greg. It's a matter of trust, and I think we need to move quickly to get it done.
I think there's as far as I know, that in talking to the auditor's department, that there's 145,500 property owners. So whatever that, I would imagine that roll that back so it wouldn't be on their taxes in the upcoming year. So it'd be less. So.
I concur, and I just make sure that what the numbers are and what we're dealing with, and take those steps that you recommended. That sounds proper.
Good.
You want a second on that?
I'll second that.
Thank you.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes. Do you have another issue you wanted to?
Well, I think that, and I've talked to Tim about this, that with our IT department, we've asked to go out for resumes for someone to take over that department. We've abandoned done away with the data processing board. I feel that we need to call a meeting with Tim, with the whole IT department, to let them know where we are in the process. I think we owe that to our IT department and the employees to make sure that we answer any of their questions or concerns. I'm fearful that that some real good people are a little skittish about their future with regards to Butler County and may be looking elsewhere, and I hate the thought of losing good qualified people in our IT department. The IT is so very important for the county, and it will be for years and years to come as technology continues to improve. So we need to make sure that we retain the best qualified people. So I think that from what I'm hearing, that there needs to be some explanation of where we are in the process and what we're what our goals are, and to also ask for their input and comments as to how we move forward.
That sounds good to me. I don't think we'll ever really know just how important that IT department is for the county. We want to make sure we stay on top of it, and with electronics and information equipment now, it's almost obsolete by the time you get it. It moves so fast and so rapidly, so we really need to get moving on this, and I think a meeting would definitely be in order. I think we need to include Auditor Rogers for his input as well.
I think that the other thing is that we have 102 applicants.
Auditor Reynolds, I'm sorry, Roger Reynolds. Yeah, his first name throws me. Roger Reynolds.
We have 102 applicants. you know, I'm the first one to admit that, you know, I turn on a computer and I expect it to work. I don't know why it works or how it works. So we need some expert evaluation of these 102 applicants. So I think, you know, we need to find someone to help us with as we pare down these applicants and to be able to help us with this process.
Do you recommend we do that in a work session form?
That's fine. Or, you know, I suggested to Tim that quite possibly we get, you know, ask Miami University and their expertise to look at the applicants and to try to help us as we narrow down the list from 102 to a working number. Tim, is that?
If I may interrupt,
sure.
I also talked recently to Mahendra Vora at Vora Tech, and he has volunteered his services to help us in that regard to make sure we get a qualified person. His expertise in that field and his knowledge of people in that field is so vast, and he's willing to donate his time. I think we need to utilize him as well. I really appreciate his offer for services. He's very successful in that field, and
I think it's important also that someone that with, you know, maybe there's somebody who has retired from our IT department that knows the Butler County system that could quite possibly help us also, because I think not only does that Mahendra's experience is very important, but it also the experience of knowing firsthand of what our system is about, I think would be valuable too. And I don't know who that person would be. I'm just saying that Mahendra would have, you know, would know more about, you know, coming in and knowing about computers in general, but our system is pretty, I think, complicated from within the county. Maybe I'm wrong, but and that's just a suggestion. I don't have anybody in mind who could help us with that.
I think if we could get some outside expertise in order to review the number and basically get it down to a short list of 10, you know, and then, you know, we can either set up a committee to, you know, look at those 10, you know, involving, you know, more than one person, perhaps Mahendra as well as a representative of Miami, perhaps someone from, you know, AK Steel, for example, could, from their IT department, could come in and offer that along with, you know, perhaps a staff member or two, you know, internally, you know, from the Information Services Department. We create that team in order to evaluate the final 10. I think it's important that we quickly move through the 102 in order to try to narrow that down. But if we have someone like Miami or Mahendra that has an eye for talent, at least that diamond in the rough is not going to, you know, get away from us. It will at least be identified and on that basis, and it would help expedite the process, you know, for us.
Okay.
That sound okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Yeah. Do you need a second on that?
I don't think it needs.
Sounds good.
John, you have anything? I have nothing.
Mm-mm. Anyone in the audience have anything for the commission at this time?
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes. Thank you.